10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Good morning. Well, we still got another hour of morning here in the Pacific time zone. For those listening over on the East Coast, good afternoon. Those listening on delayed podcast, good whatever time of day you're listening. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny here, getting ready to start hour number three of Radio Law Talk. After the case or no case, which will be upon us shortly, we'll get back into this issue that the Supreme Court is wrestling with, which essentially is, when it comes to claimed indirect curtailment of free speech rights, how far can the government go? What does constitute a curtailment and what does not? And it looks like the court's wrestling with that question in two separate cases. And we'll talk about the second of those two cases here in just a second. So far, boy, we've talked about everything from divorce to what else have we covered here, Denise?
Well, murder.
Divorce, murder, not that those are curtailment of rights under the due with a curtailment of due process rights, the no-fly list, all kinds of stuff. Those from the first 2 hours. And if you want to listen to those, you can certainly catch us when the podcast drops. It could drop as early as Sunday, but Radio Law Talk is covered on. It can be found as a podcast on all of the major podcast streaming services. So,
When you listen, give us a thumbs up or a good review if you want to. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, we definitely would appreciate that.
You bet.
Cal.
Yeah.
So, we started last. So Denise won the last season of Case or No Case.
She did.
In hour one. Hour two started the new season. The new race to 50, if you will, for Case or No Case.
They had a big premiere party. Everybody missed that.
Yes, and Denise and I both whiffed on that one. So as it stands right now in the race to 50, you are in the lead with 4 points. I'm at zero. Denise is at zero. And Fred, who's not here, is at zero. I'm waiting for Cal as the arbiter of all things Radio Law Talk to say, and this will be a race to four, and I win.
Game over. Thanks for playing, everybody. All right. No, here's how this works. I have another one and a chance for you both to get multiple points.
Okay. All right. Take it away.
And with a bonus question as well.
So now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Frederick and Ira were best friends and super creative and very smart and very successful in the music business. But like every great partnership, it can have issues. After they released a great hit recording, they ended up becoming, well, kind of enemies. Ira told Frederick, I want to go do something else. You write more songs. I'll come back and just record them with you. Frederick was never okay with that because Ira came back and tried to take over the act in the recording studio to act as a producer in the booth while Frederick did most of the heavy lifting. So they parted ways and occasionally and reluctantly reunited for a concert here and there, but rarely. Frederick did not want Ira to get writer's credit for their songs, but the controlling Ira did want writer's credit and the publishing money and the rights that would come with that, so they had to figure it out. After a couple of big meetings, Frederick decided enough was enough. He would have to see if he could go to court to stop Ira from claiming he co-wrote the songs Frederick had in fact penned by himself. Yes, Frederick wanted to know if he had a case or no case against Ira. Who are these people, and is it a case, and what was the big song that pushed them apart? Todd, go.
What was the big song that pushed them apart?
Yeah.
Frederick and Ira.
Yep, Frederick and Ira.
Oh, good heavens. You know, Did they go to court over writing credit? And
I'm not going to say if they went to court about it. I know they argued about it.
The question is, it a case or no case? If they'd, they'd have to, when I say go to court, they'd have to file some
they
sort of claim.
They disputed writer's credit. Yes.
Okay, so they would have to do that. And, okay, well, look, I'll say that this is a case. And as far as the writer's credit is concerned, wait, who are the terms? Who left and who's claiming that that they should get writer's credit, but they didn't really get writer's credit?
Well, the writer was Frederick.
Okay.
And the other guy was Ira. And Ira said, I would like writer's credit. I sang these with you. In fact, in concerts, people come up to me and say, wow, good job. While Frederick says, hey, I wrote this song. So and there was some jealousy involved, in all fairness.
Okay. Yeah. Jealousy. You know, I'm going to go back. No case. I think that this is a scenario, but this is no case. And I think that they can claim. Do we know the genders of Frederick and Ira?
Male.
They're both male.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No case. Scenario, but not a case.
Denise, what do you have on this?
Case. It hasn't been resolved yet.
Well, that was quick. No analysis. No.
I don't need to.
Oh, you know this one.
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh.
All right,
knows
that
this
means
one.
She might know who it is. So, Todd, any guess about Frederick and Ira?
Well, I want to know what Denise guesses.
Nope, you have to go first.
Man, she drew the line in the sand right there, didn't she? No, you got it. I love it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to say that the song is You've Lost That Love and Feeling, and it's the Iverly Brothers.
Righteous Brothers.
Righteous Brothers, that's right. So it's the Righteous Brothers and the song that drove them apart, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, sure.
Oh, that's good. Denise, what do you think about the identities of Frederick and Ira?
Hall & Oates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Maneater, though. I'm thinking about what song it is, so now we flip it back to Todd to say what song it is.
Yeah, that's by the way, that's a double bonus. That's a 4-point question. 4 points if you get the song right.
Yeah, so I said I thought
it was a four-word title. Just a hint. Four-word title.
What's that mean?
There are four words in the title of the title song. Like God Bless America is 3 words, okay? So 4 words in the title.
I'm going to stick with the Righteous Brothers. And I lost that love and feeling. I don't know.
that's fine.
Yeah, that's sure. Actually a good guess.
Yeah, I think it's a really good guess. And Denise, what do you think about
it? Dang it, I can't think. I only have one song in my head, and I know it's not the right one.
What song is that?
Maneater, but it's not the right one. It's
You're a doggone slimy man-eater.
No.
Okay.
Whoa, here she comes. Yeah, no, it's another one of their songs, and it's like a very famous song. And we actually covered it about a month ago.
I can't go for that. Whoa, no, no can do. No, I can't go for that. No, whoa, no can do.
What's another song?
Sarah Smile, let's see.
From Holland.
Your Kiss is on my list. No, let's fix that.
Your Kiss is on. What about, what's another one is, I can't.
Oh, my gosh, I cannot. I'm just going to say she's a man-eater.
Okay. I think that's fine. Because what I'm going to do, since we have just a minute left before we break away, is I think we'll wait for a little bit and build the suspense on this answer.
And look, if anybody listening wants to weigh in on this, of who the band is or what the song is, 855-529-7234. You got to call pretty quick. Cal will let you know. I'd be curious to know if anybody has input on this one. 855-529-7234.
Get it right. I'll give you a Radio Law Talk t-shirt that Todd and Denise will sign. It's going to be worth that much. Stay tuned. You're listening to Radio Law Talk and the broadcast and the answer to case and no or no case after this.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. This is Radio Law Talk.
Commercials under the announcement.
announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170, 800-738-0170, 800-738-0170, 800-738-0170.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
What the heck is that thing?
Your money's no good here.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
@radiolawtalk.com.
And we are back here in the middle of Case or No Case, where essentially a musical talent, a duo, played together, performed together, broke up, came back, and then one is saying that he is entitled to writing credits on some of the song, and the other guy is saying, no, look, you just sang them. I wrote them all. you just sang on these songs.
Yeah, jerk.
And and so did this lead to a case, and who prevailed? And Denise and I both said, oh, no, Denise, we both said no case, right?
Is that
I
correct,
said case.
Denise?
Huh?
You said it was a case?
Yeah.
I thought you said no case.
No, I said case, and it was pending.
Oh, that's right, case, and it's pending. I said no case. I said I thought it was the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Love and Feeling was the song that broke them apart. Denise, you said that it was...
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates.
And she's a man-eater.
Okay, yeah, an alternate spelling of man-eater that makes it four words.
She's a man-eater. Four words.
Okay.
Okay.
And then Cal, we've had some.
She is a man eater.
Yeah. A lot of calls on this. A lot of calls.
And it was got a lot of. Okay, did anybody get it right?
No.
Okay.
We had people guess everything from the Everly Brothers to Hall & Oates to name it, and nobody guessed who it really was or what the song really was.
When you're weary.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
dang it.
And Bridge Over Troubled Waters was the song that actually broke them apart. After restraining orders and whatnot, Paul Frederick Simon got most of the writing credit instead of Art Ira Garfunkel, and Simon just sold that to BMG for eight plus figures. He went from the top of the music world to the top of the food chain in one fell deal. Yes, it was a case, and yes, the winner was Paul Simon.
So Denise...
I do get...
Denise gets 2 points.
Two or four,
because
it's
she
double.
Gets two, because she guessed it was a case, she'd get one, but she said it's pending. She didn't say who won.
Yes.
True,
so
that's
true.
Yeah, yes, 2 points. Good job.
So here...
I skunked you on the people.
So here we go. I mean, check this out.
Yeah.
So we have completed a whole day of case or no case... And Cal is still in the lead with 4 points.
Yay. Good guys.
And I have a trivia question. What is Simon Garfunkel, not Garfunkel, what is Paul Simon's most hated song?
When Paul Simon?
Yep.
The one he hates. Oh, yeah. Feeling Groovy.
Yep.
He hates to play Feeling Groovy. He says, first off, I'm 80 years old. I'm sitting out playing Feeling Groovy. I hate.
It's called Fifth Street something,
yeah.
Right?
The 49th Street Bridge song or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, yes, the Feeling Groovy, he says, it just doesn't feel right anymore.
So here's another trivia for music writing credit. All right? And, Cal, you gotta get the Bridge Over Troubled Waters off because it's not going to jive with this next trivia.
Okay, it's gone. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Van Halen. Now, you got to understand, I was a huge Van Halen fan, still am. But Van Halen, with the exception of their cover tunes, like You Really Got Me was the Kinks, and they covered Linda Ronstadt's You're No Good.
California Girls. Right.
California Girls was David Lee Roth's own solo project thing. But Dancing in the Street, all of those were covers. So not including the covers, Van Halen, on every other song they did, on every other album, gave writing credit to the active members of the band who played those songs. So when it was up until David Lee Roth left the band, writing credit for all those songs was Michael Anthony, David Lee Roth, Alex Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen, and all that. But there's one song in the David Lee Roth era years up to 1985 where a non-Van Halen member was finally given writing credit on the albums that are coming out now. And do you know the name of the song and who was given the credit?
I would guess Jump because it's the only other one I know, and I wouldn't know who got credit. I wouldn't. I have no idea. I'm not a big fan. I mean, I love the music. I'm not a big trivia fan.
It is from the same album that 1984 that
Jump
is from, the 1984 album. But consider this: Ted Templeman, the producer for Van Halen, was also the producer for a band called the Doobie Brothers.
Oh yeah.
And Eddie Van Halen had written this song on the keyboards, not Jump, on the keyboards, called I'll Wait. One of my favorite songs off that album.
Oh, it's good stuff.
It's awesome guitar solo.
Yeah.
And David Lee Roth was perplexed about it. He just couldn't come up with lyrics for that song. And he talked to Ted Templeman, and Ted said, hey, why don't you go to this guy's office, one Michael McDonald?
Oh, I like him.
He's so good. Yeah.
And go to his office and play the song for him and talk, and Michael McDonald helped write the lyrics for I'll Wait. And it was only in the last decade or so that his name started showing up in the releases, subsequent releases of the album, as writing credit. But he's the only non-Van Halen member to get credit on a Van Halen original.
And in fairness, Michael McDonald was on every song in that era. This Is It with Kenny Loggins. He was on with Christopher Cross. I mean, he just did appearances with everybody at that time.
I saw very the Doobie Brothers in a very, very small venue at the Brits Festival in Ashland, Oregon.
Oh, man.
And it was amazing because the whole thing is a sit-down hill, and everybody sits down on grass, and it's really, really intimate and beautiful. And it was one of the best times that I've ever had.
Oh,
I
bet they were just rocking it.
Have you heard about the Doobie Brothers Brigham Young University? So BYU, I think it was back in the late 70s, early 80s, decided they were going to have a concert series, and they booked the Doobie Brothers to play. And they went to the Doobie Brothers and said, okay, we're going to play, but we really love it if you would not play one song, their song Jesus Is Just All Right With Me.
Huh?
Doobie Brothers opened with Jesus Is Just All Right With Me.
Well, good for them. They were on a Christian campus. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't tell a rock band. It's like publishing the list of books you're not supposed to read. They all become bestsellers. We'll be back after this for the last half hour of Radio Law Talk. Don't go away.
Tom, Denise are all right with me, and they're all right with you, too. And they'll be on the show until it ends, which is, you know, in a little while. So stick around for this, the rest of Radio Law Talk.
You found Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. That's 800-493-6112.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity. Round up the usual suspects.
I like the Amargosa Valley.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So with the lawsuit, or with the Supreme Court case that we covered at the end of the second hour, where the Supreme Court was hearing arguments about whether or not it was undue encroachment on Facebook, whether or not executive branch officials could contact Facebook or social media outlets regarding the content and try to encourage them, or regarding content that they were allowing to be published on their platform. I think we need to look at this as what the court is really struggling with is what's called an indirect curtailment of free speech. Because the person with the free, the entity with the free speech right, so to speak, is the person at Facebook, or the person who uses Facebook that wants to publish content. And they're claiming that it's being curtailed by Facebook at the behest of the government. So it's an indirect governmental curtailment of that person's free speech. Now, I want to read you a quote here. This comes from Bantam Books versus Sullivan. It's a 1963 decision where the Supreme Court held that, quote, informal, indirect government efforts to suppress or penalize speech by threatening private intermediaries violate the First Amendment. And that's why in the case with Facebook, the court was looking at the coercive nature of the calls to Facebook. It said, look, you're going to have people that are just upset, and it happens all the time, but is it coercive? Are they coercing Facebook through threats or things like that? Are they coercing Facebook to take these posts down that would ultimately curtail the free speech of the citizens that are posting on Facebook? That's the question they're wrestling with. So you take that, and then you apply it to the NRA's case, National Rifle Association's case, that was also heard by the court this last week, and the allegation there is that you have the NRA says they have free speech rights to promote the Second Amendment. Fine. But what they're what their argument is that in the state of New York, when New York's Department of Financial Services, the head of that, Maria Vullo, head of the department, issued a press statement. This was after a lot of the shootings that had taken place in 2017 down in Florida and what have you. Maria Vullo, the head of the Department of Financial Services, issued a press statement and, quote, guidance letters calling on banks and insurance companies to consider the risks to their reputations of doing business with organizations that promote guns like the NRA. So the NRA's argument is, all right, here we go again. We're the indirect recipient, or we're indirectly being affected by a governmental official that is making statements to our intermediary, any insurance company that we use, any banks that loan us money and stuff, essentially telling them not to do business with us. Now, in the Facebook case, the courts seemed sympathetic towards Facebook, toward the government, saying, look, yeah, whatever the communication was, we don't think it was coercive to coerce Facebook to take down your posts. But in the NRA case, the court seemed to be leaning a little bit more towards the, yeah, what this individual did, what the head of the Department of Financial Services did in making that release and providing that guidance was coercive. They seemed to be leaning toward the idea that it was coercive toward the third-party intermediaries that would have the effect of curtailing the free speech rights of the NRA. So it's interesting when you have these two cases, and the court sometime will do this. They'll take a couple of cases that have similar issues, and it allows them to make rulings that hopefully cover a broader base or a broader scope of conduct so that folks can get guidance from those rulings. And that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think that, at least one of the justices says we need to come up with a definition of coercion.
Absolutely.
We've got a broad spectrum here, and we need to come up with a very good definition of coercion.
And in that definition, I would say that it seems like they're leading toward, look, coercion's not going to be shown just because the executive department is ticked off at something you're allowing to be performed on your put on your platform, and maybe even pesters you and says, "Hey, you shouldn't be releasing this stuff." If that's as far as it goes, on the other hand, it seems he's saying, "But you know, if they are providing quote guidance and strongly suggesting that people not do business with folks because of their speech." And coercing in that way, that seems to lean more towards the side of what is coercive. So you've got activities by government actors on both ends of the spectrum to identify what is or is not coercive, and hopefully that will lead to a definition that they can come up with.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because one of the things that is being complained of is that that some of the NRA-endorsed insurance that's being offered to New York residents is actually illegal under New York laws. And so that's basically what they're saying is we have endorsed these different things, and that's our free speech. And so we're going to have to see what happens here. It's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be very difficult for this court to walk a fine line here, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, but you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And, you know, you get these folks there.
And the Supreme Court would never hear them.
That's right.
That's why they get the big bucks and free boat rides. Oh, wait, sorry.
The what?
Yeah.
Big money and free boat rides.
Right? Big money and free boats. And that's not all with the Supreme Court this last. So we have another one with this Texas. What's going on with the Texas law? Essentially, there was a Texas law. Was it SB4 was passed that allowed the that Texas authorized under Texas law, authorized Texas law enforcement officers to arrest folks who had crossed the border illegally. And then that was argued and taken up to the to an appellate court. The appellate court judge issued a ruling. And what was the appellate judge's ruling, Denise?
Well, this what I liked about this was just the it was like a rubbernecker, you know, where you're like looking one way, looking the other way. At first, the Fifth Circuit did not make a decision. They just did not. And so then it got appealed without it be making a decision just by nature of the posture of it to the Supreme Court. And then one of the justices stayed the impact of the Texas law and just said, we're not going to let you enforce it right now. And then it came up again for another review, and they said, okay, one more time, we'll extend that stay. So the Supreme Court extended the stay. Then it came up for the third time. And when it came up for the third time, the Supreme Court said, this is ridiculous. The Fifth Circuit needs to make a decision. So they did not stay the ruling any longer, which would mean that Texas could start arresting and deporting illegals in their in their state. And within hours, the Fifth Circuit issued their ruling, and their ruling was that the Texas law was unconstitutional, and now it went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has entered a stay.
Pretty interesting. So the consistent thing that I see here with the Supreme Court, the this version of the Supreme Court, and I've seen this over the last two, three, 4 years, is this push to say, essentially, folks, there are procedures in place by which laws should be passed and procedures in place by which challenges to those laws should be followed. And we've gone too far away from following the established procedures, and it seems like this court is coming back to the, no, follow the procedure. The case about Roe versus Wade and all that, essentially that was a, hey, that is a law-passing function. So let the legislatures pass that. We've gone too long in having a court-created law. Let the legislatures pass it. A return to, you know, what they think should be the case. This here, these are procedures to be in place for challenging laws and stuff like that. So the lower courts, do your jobs so that this case can be appropriately before us on the merits of a case, not on whether or not we think the lower court of appeals was correct in issuing a stay back and forth. Just knock this stuff off. You're making it too difficult. Get to the procedures. Follow them. They're in place for a reason. We come back, we'll have the last segment of Radio Law Talk for this session. Don't go away. We'll talk to you then.
They're like the Supreme Court of Radio, Todd and Denise on Radio Law Talk. We'll be right back after we break away. Stay tuned.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump,
Call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560, 800-251-7560, 800-251-7560. Copays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Oh, you're hungry?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Well, why didn't you say something? You could have gone out.
Are you serious?
They're all just making up stuff that he's saying, right?
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny.
Frederick Penny. So, the Justice Department, Justice Department of the United States, in connection with some states' attorneys generals, has sued Apple. And they've sued Apple. And it's a big lawsuit because they sued Apple for illegally monopolizing the smartphone market. Essentially saying that the iPhone and everything that it can do, and Apple, you've illegally monopolized the market in smartphones. And I can tell you that when I first saw the headline and read through the articles as it was related here, and even I went to the complaint, I downloaded the complaint and read it. Even the way they set it up with the history of Apple, my gut reaction to this was, so what? Yeah, they did that. It's called being a good business person. They developed a product that everybody wanted. Nobody could compete with it. Yeah, the iPod, they talk about the iPod. The iPod dominated the market. That's because nobody else was offering digital music. You know, if you wanted to carry around, I remember the book, the movie, Steve Jobs, and he's talking to his daughter, and he says, you know, I'm gonna develop something. I'm gonna put 1,000 songs in your pocket. And she's like, yeah, right. She's wearing this Walkman. You got a cassette. You know how much you'd have to carry around to have 1,000 songs available using cassette tapes, CDs, vinyl, all that. And Apple created this forum, this format where you could have all those songs on a little tiny iPod. And now it's on the iPhone. And you know, you're penalizing them for coming up with this technology, and how dare you? That's that. As I've heard Cal say, that's the American way: build a business and, you know, destroy your competition and do better. Right?
I mean, can you say Walmart? What do they do when they come into a town? I'm not trying to be deprecating to Walmart, but that's what they do when they come into town. They wipe out their competitors, charge what they want. It's called business.
And so I was looking at that, and I
was thinking about Motorola
and
the different, you know, the different, what were those, walkie-talkie type things. They could only talk to themselves.
Yep. And so Apple comes up with this, and I'm thinking, what's the big deal here? And then I read a little bit more into the lawsuit. And I read a little bit more about antitrust. Look, antitrust, the Sherman Antitrust Act, is it against the law to develop a product that pretty much takes over the market and is the market share? No, not on its face. And by the way, a product has to, you know, get to pretty much 70% of the market share before the government really get in and say it's antitrust. That's not the issue here. Like, if you build a great product, that's good. Build a great product. It's what you do after you get there, or what you did to get to that point, that the government takes issue with. And the allegations in the complaint against Apple, if true, look, okay, I get it. And so here's one of the big problems that the government has with Apple. So you got an app on Apple and you're watching it on your Apple phone. And let's say you switch over to an Android, right? Well, I want to get that same data and have the same functionality. Oftentimes, that app is not available and will not translate over to Android. Not that the technology doesn't exist to do it, but the allegation in the complaint is that Apple, for folks that were developing apps that would work with Apple's platform, was requiring that they only develop them for Apple's platform and that they not be usable on any other platform.
Okay, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
And I will tell you, it reminds me so much of how Apple's been sued in the European, in EU countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the EU countries, when that first started, they used to have differences between their headlights in the different countries. They used to have all these differences and nothing translated. And they finally standardized it. And they finally got it to where things could work between different countries, but having standards, right? And they have sued Apple for exactly the same purpose, exactly the same reasons. And even though our antitrust in the United States is so different than the antitrust in the EU, on this point, they are the same.
And so that, it's that kind of conduct that is the basis of the lawsuit. The government's not saying, shame on you, Apple, for developing a product that is better than every other product. They're not saying that. What they're saying is, but you got to that market share because in order for people to do business with you to develop apps for your product, you were making it a condition that they not be able to develop the same for other formats and platforms. These super apps were not able to be used across different platforms, and that's what curtailed competition and ultimately leads the consuming public with less options for what they want. I get that basis. Now, if they're able to prove that, they probably prove a good case against Apple. It remains to be seen the evidence that comes out, whether or not that's provable, whether or not they have it. Apple says they believe the government is wrong on the law. They believe they're wrong on the facts. That's not what we did. But now I understand why you have it. It's not just going after them because they were successful. The government's taking issues with how they acted to get successful and how they acted after they got that market share.
And I think another part of this is what Apple has purposely done with their own technology when it interacts with other technology, that it makes the other technology look substandard as well.
That's right. You know, and that, so that is
kind of an interesting
kind
one.
Kind of interesting.
That might be a little more creative of an argument.
Sure. Shifting gears here, Carly Russell, really quick, because we promoted this one here. Carly Russell, she was the one who claimed that she was kidnapped, taken, she disappeared, she came back, and then admitted it was all a hoax. And this last week, she was sentenced, and she was sentenced to no jail time, ordered to pay $18,000 in restitution, and was on probation for a period of time. So here's the question. Was the punishment too light? Cal, what do you think?
Really absolutely. Quick. From her uncle, the judge. No, I mean, I think it was too light. She cost people a lot of money, time, angst, and set a very poor example to people in the community of what she did and what seemed to be okay. I think she deserved a serious punishment.
What do you think, Denise?
I think that it was an appropriate punishment. And the reason is she copped to it right away, and she is having major mental illness. You can see she's struggling. And she made a comment to the judge that really struck with me. And she said, next time I need to seek help, I will do it in a different manner. And I feel like she really is remorseful.
Do you suppose they're going to put her in a mental health place rather than jail? I mean, that would be okay with me as long as it was an adequate time.
I think she actually is already involved in some mental health services.
Thank goodness.
That may be part of...
I withdraw my earlier comment, Your Honor, Todd.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because you had said, do you think she's in a mental health place? And you said, as long as it's a commensurate amount of time.
Yeah.
Now, as both a prosecutor and then later as a defense attorney, I kind of take issue with that because I don't want rehab or mental health facilities or anything like that to be the equivalent of jail time.
In California, they are for sex criminals.
They do, but in those cases, though, if you really want to benefit from rehabilitation, it should be because that's where you want to go to get better for whatever's ailing you, not because you're trying to avoid jail time. The success rate significantly diminishes as a result of that. And I know we're coming up on our quick takes.
Yeah, so it's like rehab, you're saying. All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do this. We have time now for some quick takes, and I know Denise has one. I've been seeing her writing it down there, and I'm sure do you have one?
I do.
Okay, good. You want to share that?
Yes. My quick take is based on the First Amendment right to free speech. And I choose not to say anything.
Oh, good one. All right. Todd, what's your quick take?
So my quick take goes to the Carly Russell case, which is I think the prosecution, by focusing so much on the cost incurred, actually asked for that judgment because the judge in administering that saying, I'm not going to waste any more of the government's money to incarcerate her because that's just as expensive. He made it all about the money, which is what they focused on. And quite frankly, I think having a large fine probably acts as a greater deterrent effect than the jail time.
Good point. And there is such a thing as human capital, and we have to take that into account. I think the justice system does that.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Todd, it's your time to say goodbye for us.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in to Radio Law Talk. We'll be back next week. Hope to see you then.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com. A copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.